June 25th, item number 54. Today's guest is Scott Siegler from the Earth Core Podcast Novel.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into the interview with Scott, a few quick news and notes and updates from the Gnome Deck show. I did not post a Gnome Deck specific update because I thought that earlier in this morning's sessions there would be some big news from Microsoft that would be worthy of getting out right away. However, that was not the case, as I'll get into here in a second. But I would like to say that I'm not going to edit today's intro. Doug Kay over at IT Conversations asked me to do a little bit less editing, so I'm going to try this first whole introduction with no editing. One shot, go, and here's how it works. The session started off today. Dave Weiner trying to display his, do a demo on his OPML editor, the OPML editor, Toe. And unfortunately, due to bandwidth issues with 300 people with Wi-Fis trying to hit the network all at once to download emails and podcasts, there wasn't the network that he needed and he couldn't get connectivity. So we only saw part of what the OPML editor could do. From what I could see, there's nothing major of announcement as far as podcasters go. If you're a blogger with a podcast, maybe it's a little bit more helpful. Maybe there might be some features that you might be interested in. But as far as podcast listeners, definitely nothing there that's going to drive more traffic or help out with on the listener side. Microsoft, which where I was underwhelmed from the podcasting perspective, did announce that IE7 would be, which was the first public showing of IE7 at GnomeDex, would be and have support for RSS. So you would be able to subscribe to RSS feeds right from IE7, similar to what that in Safari today. Now, I apologize for the background noise as we're doing this in the lobby of the hotel, so there are people coming in, so there is some background noise here and there. Again, I'm trying not to edit this. My basic understanding of what was announced on Microsoft IE7 with the RSS support, it will not be any boon for podcasters. There's nothing there to help listeners really subscribe to a podcast and have it transferred. So from that point of view, it was an underwhelming announcement from a podcaster's perspective. If you're a blogger, it was very exciting news. But from a podcaster, I just didn't see that there was anything there of newsworthiness other than to mention it here quickly. Longhorn will have RSS support, and that's supposed to help for developers, but Longhorn is a long way off. Now, the one piece of news, which was from Audible, which was in regards to podcasters, is pretty good. I'll get to that in a second, but first they did also mention they now have periodical support for RSS, so things like the New York Times and Charlie Rose and other audio issues that have come out on a periodic basis, they now have RSS support. But the bigger news from Audible, and let me read it, what their release said, is Audible enables some of the largest content publishers in the world to podcast their audio content. Soon we will be reaching out to content producers of all sizes. If you'd like to be involved as a beta tester of Audible's new podcasting platform, please email us at podcasting@audible.com. That's podcasting@audible.com. News and note, or comment here, Audible does use their own proprietary software. You will have to encode a separate MP3, which you'll probably have to upload to the Audible site, and it'll be something they're going to have on their site that'll be downloaded from their site. That's at least how I see it. Audible will not be doing this as MP3s. They'll be doing this as the Audible format. That said, that Audible format does play on almost all MP3 players, including all iPods. But I would recommend in the meantime you do send an email to podcasting@audible.com. Become one of the beta testers. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the GnomeDex update. I'll have another one hopefully tomorrow with some good information. We're going to go ahead now and get into the interview with Scott from Earth Core Podcast. Here we go. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Traditional first question, and that is always, what was your first computer?
My first computer was a that I owned was a Macintosh LC I think it was just the regular LC. And I actually, my dad co-signed on a loan for me to buy that because that was a while ago. And that was a very exciting time to actually own my first computer. So that was my first one.
You've been around for a while.
Yeah, definitely.
What was the first podcast you listened to?
I think it might have been Adam Curry's podcast, but it was probably The Dragon Page with Michael and Evo. As I started flipping through all the podcasts and just trying to figure out how to receive one was a challenge unto itself. I actually started trying two podcasts before I was really listening to them and able to download them.
That's kind of the reverse of how most people do it.
Once I discovered podcasting, I started reading up on it because it's related to what we do at work, which is corporate communications. We do a lot of audio work, like fake radio shows and such. I thought, wow, well, if people are receiving audio this way, this is pretty cool. And then I started to look into it. And as a lark, I started to Google for podcast novel, just assuming that there would be a bunch of them because it's such a natural use of the technology, and couldn't find any. And when I couldn't find any, I kept looking and then realized that there might be an opportunity here to sort of be first to market with something. You know, and at the time, I didn't know that T was already in the process of podcasting his, but the information just didn't come up on Google. So not knowing anybody else was out there, I just went full speed ahead and figured out how to do it.
What are some of the other podcasts you're listening to today?
Well, I listen to The Dragon Page pretty regularly. I listen to Don and Drew. I listen to Adam Curry's podcast to get a lot of the news that he has. He has information that nobody else has on there. So I listen to that one. I listen to every now and then, whenever I can, I listen to Mr. X and
Julie.
Yeah, and Just Julie. And then, of course, I listen to The Pocket Independent and Tease Moravi. I listen to those as often as I can.
Well, let's try to talk a little bit about the book and the story, and to let our listeners know what they should be in store for when they're listening and why they should listen.
The book revolves around a central character's name is Connell Kirkland, and he is an executive for a mining company called Earthcore. He's a nefarious fellow that gets his information any way he can, blackmail, bribes. He hires an ex-NSA agent named Caleb Myers to gather a lot of his information, and he has no problem putting the screws to people to get the info, because in the mining game, it's all about who's going to get there first and who's going to lay claim to the mine. It's not that much different than it used to be back in the Wild Wild West. He discovers the work of a miner named Sonny McGinnis, who has stumbled onto what could be the richest platinum vein in the history of the world. And then Connell goes through all the efforts he can to buy up that property and to blackmail Sonny and make sure that Earthcore owns that property. Then he has to take Earthcore to the area, and he has to manage to dig and try and get as much as he can out of the ground, because platinum being a commodity, there's a lot of people in Russia and South Africa that would do anything they can to prevent a new source of platinum from being unveiled. Because say the platinum supply doubles, the price is going to drop by as much as 75% on the market, which devalues the minds of all these other people in the world. So there's a lot that goes on in the mining industry that you don't hear about in the news. And there's a lot of black market dealings to try and control supply. So Connell's faced with a lot of obstacles. Number one, the platinum is buried 3 miles underground. To dig a mine shaft that far would be a new world's record. And there's a lot of physics problems. For example, geothermal heat that far down. The rocks are so hot that far underground that they would burn bare skin. And he has to find a way to be able to make humans work down there enough to claim the mine. He has to keep it secret from the government. He has to keep it secret from the competition and do all of this while he's got a crew of about 100 people out there working on the camp.
And on top of that, the mountain is supposedly haunted, or there's some horror sci-fi mixture in there.
Well, it's not too much of a spoiler. The prologue of the book takes place in the late 40s, and it's three geology students who have stumbled onto the mine, or stumbled onto the tunnel complex in the area, and they're exploring there. And as they get through the mines, as they try and get through the tunnels, some bad things happen to them. And Sonny McGinnis, who winds up researching the area, finds out that there's a lot of very strange abnormalities going on in the mountain. Number one, there's almost no animal life of any kind, while there's quite a bit of animal life in other areas in that same mountain chain. It's the Wawa Mountain. And Sonny, who's very attuned, he's been a miner for 30 years, a prospector, and he's very attuned to the land. He finds that he almost can't stand to be in the mountain. There's some kind of vibe coming out of there that he doesn't like. He also finds that the Utes, the Indian tribes, Native Indian tribes of the area, just naturally avoid the mountain. So the mountain's pretty spooky. There's something going on there that is not normal. But Connell doesn't give a crap, because he's going in and he's going to get that platinum one way or another.
You mentioned that yours is the first novel that was written specifically to be delivered via just a podcast.
Yeah, I wrote the book a few years ago, and it was actually picked up by AOL Time Warner and was due out in 2002 as a paperback. Unfortunately, the 9/11 recession hit, and AOL Time Warner was losing a lot of money, and they decided to scrap hundreds and hundreds of projects. Mine was one of those. And it was tied up contractually with them for a couple years. They didn't want to do anything with it, but they didn't really have the resources to get through the backlog of contracts they had, so it just kind of hung out in limbo until my agent could get it free. And by that time, unfortunately, it was about 2004, nobody was really interested in the book, and we've been trying to get it published since and haven't had any luck. Then when podcasting came out, I saw this as an opportunity to make a name for myself and get some exposure, realized that there was no more, you couldn't buy print versions of the book anymore. It was out of print. You couldn't buy the ebook, and the ebook had done very well. The ebook actually hit number one on the horror list on BarnesandNoble.com and beat out Stephen King and Dean Koontz and Anne Rice. You know, for a moment, it was up there, and it was kind of cool. But it wasn't available as an ebook. It wasn't available as a print book. So I'm sitting here with this finished novel that has been professionally edited from a major house, was due out as a nationwide paperback, and I had no outlet for it. So I just decided to podcast that. I knew it was high quality because of the process that it went through, and figured that it would be even better to put it out as a podcast in a way, because people couldn't peek at the end. They wouldn't know how it was going to end. There's no way to find out what's going to happen in Earth Core other than to listen in. So once you're hooked on the book, you know, good luck to you, because if you do get hooked like a lot of the readers have, they want more and more in it. I can only do one episode a week.
Looking back, you probably wish you didn't have so many female characters, because you have to do all the voices.
Yes, and looking back, you know, I wish I had taken time to sort of cast the book with voices, because a lot of times the technical difficulties of learning how to podcast, I was in a real hurry and would just whip up whatever female voice I could whip up, and some of them are just horrible. Well, but, you know, once you started in a voice, you can't change it in midstream.
Well, Barbara sounded like a woman that had been used and abused and smoked way too many cigarettes.
Well, that's pretty accurate for her character, so she's turned out pretty well. But for example, there's things like Bertha Librand, who's a character that'll come into play later in the chapters you hear. You know, I'm doing her voice and then realize three chapters into her appearance that she's from New Jersey and totally missed the chance to do a New Jersey accent to really set apart the character. So there's a lot of things I'm figuring out as I go along. The next book I podcast, I'm going to literally cast it with myself and know all the voices of all the characters before I begin.
How difficult is it doing these chapters when you're switching from voice to voice? I mean, do you have to do a lot of retakes, a lot of edit?
Yeah, I do. I mean, to do a 45-minute chapter takes 3 or 4 hours. There's a lot of stopping and starting, a lot of retaking. I can do a lot of voices, you know, not professionally or any level close to that, but just for fun. But when you're doing 5 and 6 different character voices at once, they start to run together and it gets very confusing. You know, usually I can do a pretty good Australian accent, but in my podcast, my Australian accent is just horrible. And a lot of the readers are having a lot of fun with me, ripping on me for it. And it's kind of embarrassing, but I have it coming too. I mean, it's my job as a performer to make the characters come alive. So people are enjoying the story and they're being patient with me as I work my way through the voices.
Oh, you're doing a very good job. I appreciate that you are switching, because it really helps understand which character you're listening to. And I felt for you, because I'm thinking, God, how is he doing this, going in and out? It's got to be hard.
I had no idea I had so many characters until I was about 14, 15 chapters into it. And I'm like, oh, for crying out loud, all these different voices.
I'm one of those detail geeks. I'm the person that would say, hey, you know, Luke was running down there with his hair dry, and 2 minutes ago his hair was wet.
I'm a detail geek myself, and it's only after doing a book this big and putting it away for a couple of years and reading it that I realize how difficult a lot of this crap really is. Because, I mean, it'll ruin a movie for me when they screw up the details, or all of a sudden, you know, like Luke's hair is dry, etc. I'm like, come on, what's wrong with these people? Where's their quality control? Aren't they paying attention? But I have gotten so many emails from people who have found little tiny things about the book, and I'm just cringing when I get these. I'm like, oh, for crying out loud, who on earth would look up that level of detail?
What'd they get you on?
Yeah, I've gotten nailed a little bit on the mathematics of the finances, but some things, like one guy took the time to email me. There's a scene in chapters you haven't gotten to yet where I make a reference to a worm in the bottom of a tequila bottle. So somebody emailed me today to inform me that there are no worms in the bottom of tequila bottles. That's mezcal that has the worms in the bottom of it. Another guy has emailed me to inform me that it's not a clip. If it's an automatic weapon, it's a magazine, because we definitely get into some shooting in this book in upcoming episodes. So a lot of little things like that. Now I have a better empathy for people who mess up little details. So I think this will make it easier for me to relax and enjoy movies a little more instead of being so uptight.
For those few people that don't know, where to locate your podcast?
You can go to, if you just download it manually, at www.scottsigler.net/earthcore, or you can get the feed directly at feeds.feedburner.com/earthcore.
So what's the next novel, patio novel, we can look for from you?
The next novel is called Ancestor, and I've had a great deal of difficulty getting this published because the concept of Ancestor was that I wanted to let the reader experience the growth of the monster from a single cell up to the eating people point. There's a lot of limitations to this art form, you know, and you can rip on Dean Koontz or Tom Clancy or Michael Crichton because, oh, how convenient, the monster's already there. Well, there's a reason for that, and the reason is if you're going to create a realistic story where you get to see the monster from square one, so you're sort of in the same shoes as the characters, as in you don't know what's coming, it's really hard to do, and it takes up a lot of pages, it takes up a lot of time, so you have to have a story that'll carry that. And I just have not been able to get any publishers to buy into the developmental time it takes to let the reader enjoy that. So I've gotten to the point where I just don't want to compromise with the book. I think it's awesome. The regular people who read it love it. They say that it's riveting, and they can't get enough of it. It's just the publishers have to think on a different level. And sometimes I don't really agree with the different levels they think on. I think they overanalyze stuff instead of just saying, wow, this is a fun book. People will like this. And so Ancestor is about a biotech company that's trying to create a universal organ donor so that they can have a herd animal that has transplantable organs to take care of all the organ shortage that kills tens and hundreds of thousands of people each year. Their concept is that they can produce this creature and basically put it out to pasture and just let it breed. They will totally control the supply of organs, and they will make billions and billions of dollars because they'll be selling human life, which is a great commodity to be in. And like most books of this style, something goes horribly wrong and people get eaten. I won't lie. Idea. It's a people get eaten book. So Ancestor, I'm going to do that right after Earthcore, and we're going to try a couple of different things. We're going to try actually selling subscriptions to Ancestor for $5. $5, you get the whole thing, and then I'll try and sell that to make some money on it at the same time keeping the cost low. So it's not, you know, $5 is no big deal. And then I'll also have hopefully a print version of Earthcore in the works as well.
Okay. What advice would you like to offer out to a potential author that's thinking of doing a patio book?
Make sure you've got a lot of open time on your schedule is the primary thing. It takes up a huge amount of time. Equipment is a big deal if it's going to sound good. If you already have equipment, go for it. If you don't, you know, I've wound up spending, I'd say I've spent about $400 or $500 on this so far to put the rig together and have something that'll actually sound quality and have hit every technical hurdle in the world. So, you know, the material is important, but there's a lot more than just your book. So the first step, make sure you've got time allocated. Second step is look into what it's really going to cost you for equipment if you don't have it. Because if it sounds like crap, it doesn't matter. You could be Faulkner. Nobody's going to listen to it. And then the third step is don't go to market too early. If you have a book that you haven't finished yet, don't podcast that novel. You know, finish the book, edit the book, put the book away for a while, then pull it out. And when I say a while, I mean, the book should sit in your desk for 6 months. So you can forget what you were trying to say and what you think you said, and you actually see what you did say. There's a real disconnect there as a writer, because I can read through myself now from first draft of the book that I'm working on now, and I know what I'm trying to say, so everything makes sense. It's not until I put that book away and forget what I'm trying to say and actually see what's on the page that I understand what the reader's going to understand. So the third step is, don't be in a hurry. If you have a book out there that you want to put out, great. I just hope it's been edited by someone other than you, by a couple people other than you.
Scott, is there anything that we didn't cover with regards to your novel that you would have liked to talk about?
Yeah, it's just that if you're a fan of 24 or you're a fan of Lost, those are over now, and you're just hooked on that weekly serialized fiction, Earthcore is the way to go. It's a classic monster story. There's a lot of blood and guts. There's a lot of characters getting axed left and right. You can't go wrong. It's a quality product, man. It's a quality product.
Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Scott Siegler from the Earthcore podcast novel. I highly recommend you check out the novel. Very good novel, very entertaining. And you can find it at www.scottsiegler.net/earthcore. And Siegler spelled Siegler. So Scott, Siegler.net/earthcore. Great podcast and novel. Really enjoyed it and really am enjoying it. Well, that's going to go ahead and do it. We have a promo to play for you here on the Outco, so stick around for that. Until the next time, as always, this is your host, Rob, reminding you to listen different with Podcast 411.
Sunday. It's Monster Podcast Madness with Strange Brain Radio.
Strange Brain Radio. It's a dirty, white-knuckle podcast nightmare that you won't want to miss.
Strange Brain Radio.
Watch the jet powered brain melted iPod shuffle. Chain to its flame throwing turbine.
Strange Brain Radio.
It's not at all like boxes of chocolates. You're gonna need a pair of balls.
Strange Brain Radio.
Don't miss it.
StrangeBrainRadio.libsyn.com.